Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go into our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Max Herz, who handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Max, good morning. How are we doing?
Morning, guys. Happy to be on with you.
Well, happy to have you with us. And, Max, it was not a great weekend for the Nashville Predators. You had the game Thursday night in the home opener where it just looked like the Predators were never really in sync, and then you go on the road and follow it up with another loss in Dallas as well. So back-to-back losses to the Stars, and the Predators had some problems defensively in that game on Saturday night against Dallas. What kind of stands out to you about this two-game stretch for the Predators against the Stars, and how do you go about fixing it from here if you're John Hines?
Yeah, it was funny because after the game Thursday, I think every single player that did interviews, whether it was with one of us or just with the general media, was asked, how good is it to get another shot at this same team that just beat you pretty handily? And they all said they wanted it. And then I think seeing it happen again, my big takeaway is the Stars were just coming out and starting their season, and they played really well in their new coach's system that fit them really well right off the bat. And obviously they aren't going to win every game. The system will fade or teams will catch up with it at some point, but it was just kind of a case where Pete DeBoer's system fit them really well. They came out playing their game. They found their game really quickly. They were able to play with a lot of speed coming into the offensive zone, and the Predators just didn't handle it well, I didn't think.
So if there's something that immediately needs to be fixed, I understand every matchup is different. It just the matchup didn't go well for the Preds. But right now, Max, what needs to get figured out here quickly before the Kings tomorrow night?
I just say more firm possession, both in terms of zone time, better chances when you have zone time, more second chances and fewer one-and-dones, and also fewer turnovers leading to odd man rushes or even breakaways, like the shorthanded breakaway they gave up, which was a very odd play, and you could have made a case that the Stars had too many men on that play, on that quick change. But, yeah, I think all those things come together in terms of better possession, which leads to better zone time, which leads to more first chances, which leads to more second chances, which leads to fewer odd man rushes against you.
What are a couple bright spots through four games? Obviously, the last two games, there's not much to sort through in terms of bright spots, but overall through the four-game stretch thus far, what are you feeling good about if you're John Hines and this Predators team?
I think Nino Niederreiter has excelled in every role they've put him in, so Matt Duchene took a 2 and a 10, a hooking call that I did not think was a good call. Matt Duchene also did not think it was a good call.
And he did not.
The referee who called it, and he got a 10 for, quote, abuse of officials, which is a misconduct you don't see put out too often, but is always kind of funny to read just because of the way they word it and how infrequently you see it. So he was back in the locker room for the last half of the second period when the Preds scored their goal. And they had a 5-on-3, put Niederreiter out there with the rest of the first unit. And just after the 5-on-3 had become a 5-on-4, he scored a really nice goal that Mikhail Granlund set up, and Niederreiter tipped it home. But he continues to excel in every spot they put him in, which is amazing. He leads the team with 4 goals through 4 games. He's been solid on both ends. I feel like his line has had the best possession, even in the games where the team struggled with possession. So I think Niederreiter has been good, and whether or not the save numbers, especially in the most recent game, show it, I think Saros has been his total normal self, and he seems fully healthy. He's gone post to post really well. He's covered everything he needs to, and similarly to last year, the only times he's been beaten are when, not to say he didn't have a chance, because he always has a chance, but on breakaways and fluky bounces and things like that. So if he sees it, he's still been able to stop it, and he's covered up a lot of stuff that's gone through the crease that hasn't necessarily counted as a save either.
Max, what do you think so far about, and this is a spot, and we'll probably be talking about a lot this season, but what do you think so far about Eli Tolvanen and how he has performed?
He's been great. He's been a lot of fun to watch, and he, like Nino Niederreiter, has played in a lot of different roles too. He's gotten some PK time, which he never really has fully had, so we'll see how those units continue to shake out, but it's clear they want to give him at least some look there. So that's been good to see, and he's just been good on the puck in every single role. He's been good in transition. He's been good away from the puck. He's allowed other guys to play him open. So it's been fun to watch, and his teammates and line mates have been really complimentary of what he's brought to the table, and I don't think you could ask for anything more from him. So John Hines said with you guys last week that last year he was kind of doing the things he had to stay on the roster, and I think now he's doing the things that he's doing to be his best self and be the player that he should be in the top six.
Max Herz with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Max, this is an interesting kind of challenge that I think every NHL coach to some degree goes through, but especially when you've got a new defense pairing, and because of it, new defense pairings really across the board if you're the Predators. What's kind of that balance that John Hines faces of you're wanting to be patient and let chemistry develop? And, you know, Matthias Ekholm was talking the other day about how, you know, it takes 40, 50 games playing together before you really figure things out. What's the balance like if you're John Hines of leaving these pairings together, maybe going through some growing pains that way, but also maybe knowing when to pull the plug if one or two of them aren't performing up to your standard?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. I don't think we'd see any changes in the immediate future other than what they've been doing with Lauzon and Borowiecki going back and forth as 6 and 7 in and out of the lineup. But I think they really want to see Carrier with Josi, and there's a reason they started those two guys together after the year Carrier had last year. So I think they'll leave those two together. I think McDonough and Ekholm have been the best pair so far, which isn't surprising, but McDonough's been very good to start his Preds career. He's made the simple plays. He's made the smart plays. He's made good first passes. He's done pretty much everything they've asked him to do, and I think everything that he has said about expecting to play with Ekholm, whether it's hanging back so Ekholm can jump into a play or taking over the right side so Ekholm can be on his natural left if that's where he ends up while forechecking or helping out a forward or something like that. I think McDonough has done all those things, so I think that pair has been really good. The only thing that I think would spark a change is when Fabro is at his best, and we've seen it a few times so far this year, he may deserve better than third pair minutes. So I think the sample size is going to have to be a lot bigger. So I'll take that side of your either or, Robbie, that it'll come a little bit further down the road, I think. But they pick the way they are for a reason right now, and I think it's been the right choices so far. But no reason or too early to make a change yet.
So specifically on Ekholm, that looks pretty seamless to you, the side switch?
I think so. I haven't really thought of a time where he was either on his backhand or maybe on the inside of the ice when he should have been on the outside or he got caught. The second goal on Saturday night went in off of him on a bad bounce, and I don't think that had to do with what side he was on or anything like that, but it was just a little two-on-two that he defended. I mean, and he wasn't on his forehand or his backhand. He was down. So that's the only time this year where I can really think about, like, a puck went against Ekholm and didn't go his way. So I think it's worked well. But like Robbie said, I think that's a big part of it that's going to take a lot of time. But, I mean, we know he can do it. He's so dynamic, and I think that's shown up so far.
Max Herz, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Talking all things Nashville Predators, and of course you can check him out every game in the pre- and post-game shows as well as the Predators continue throughout their season. Max, good stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you being with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you, guys. See you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Max Herr is our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, not great stuff from the Nashville Predators this weekend. Dallas looks pretty darn good through two games.
Yeah.
Still a lot of hockey left.
A lot of hockey left, but like you said last week, it's like you got two more the rest of the year against this team.
Yeah.
Who knows if this matters, but you know, you don't want to get beat soundly like that in both of these games. So I'd say it's a pretty big early, but still important game tomorrow night for the Preds to kind of reestablish some things.
We'll get back into the Vols coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on Tennessee taking down Alabama coming up next. This Sunday following the Titans game, tune in for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, on Broadway. The postgame show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The Vols are back. Before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
Tennessee gets it done. They win 52-49 against Alabama, beating Bama for the first time since 2006. Tennessee improves to 6-0, now number 3 in the AP poll that came out yesterday. I was interested to see where they'd end up in the AP poll. I knew it'd be top 3. I wondered if they could maybe sneak up to... I mean, look, Georgia won 55-0 over the weekend, so I didn't figure they'd lose their number one ranking, but I was interested to see where they end up. Number 3 is about where I thought.
I heard some people, you know, thinking that they would not pass Michigan. You know, Michigan blew out Penn State, of course, but blowing out Penn State at home, I'm not sure how good Penn State is. It was an impressive win. Actually, Michigan is ahead of Tennessee still in the coaches poll.
Yep.
But it's interesting because in the coaches poll, Tennessee has 2 first place votes, Michigan 1. In the media poll, Tennessee has 15 first place votes, just behind Ohio State. So again, once again, media greater sign coaches when it comes to evaluating football.
So you figured out this kicking mystery.
Yeah, so there's a lot of thoughts on that. A lot of people saying, actually agreeing with the idea that it was a false start. So here's someone who texted. I'm a kicking coach. Looking at the Tennessee kicker, what got my attention is when he took his jab step before the ball was snapped. I was nervous he was going to miss it, which is probably why he did the knuckleball. It took him out of his position of his normal steps. That's why I was nervous. Also, he said, I've never heard of a kicker having a false start. So I watched it a few more times, and it's true. Like, I think that is exactly the answer on why he knuckleballed it, because he started a little bit early. But the thing is, if you want to actually get like technical, so he rocked, and kickers always rock. They're constantly rocking.
Yeah.
He stepped early, but it was not a false start. The ball was snapped. So if you watch it, watch the ball and watch him. When he takes that step, the ball's there. But remember, a kicker waits for the ball to get there. Then they step into the kick. He started to step as the balls in the air snapped, and it kind of messed him up. So he was off for sure. And I think that's why – but it's weird that I watched that so many times and didn't even think about it. But yeah. So I think that's the – he definitely was off with his timing, and that could have cost him the game. I think it's probably – because I don't think that touched anybody. It may not have.
It's close.
Yeah.
I think it was 47 hopping over the line. Like, he literally hopped over the line. I was like, good gracious. All right.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've watched so many times, but it's possible. Maybe both things happen, but I do think that that's part of why it was kind of weird, wonky kick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, watch the snap and watch when he actually steps. It's not a false start.
So we discussed this earlier, and I'm interested to get Tennessee's fans' thoughts on it as well. What does this win, this game, mean for this fan base? Look, it's well documented. The Lane Kiffin stuck. Derek Dooley's era at Tennessee, which, by the way, good to see him back at Neyland Stadium on Saturday. Apparently there was a photo of him huddled in a corner eating a box of spaghetti and meatballs as Tennessee fans are celebrating above him, walking down the stairs.
Quietly. Quietly eating some spaghetti and meatballs.
I forgot Derek Dooley was on Alabama staff now, but apparently he is. So there you go.
I mean, Butch and Lane, Both come back here and enjoy.
You know who's coming up next.
Poor Derek doesn't get to have his little cigar at the Tennessee expense.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Pruitt end up back there at some point either. But we'll see what happens on that front. But you go through that era, obviously, coming out of the Pruitt era, all these different things, coaching searches left and right that have happened. You've been dominated by Alabama for 15 years in a row. You get this win at home in that environment, and now you're undefeated with everything that you want to talk about still on the table and in front of you if you're Tennessee. What does this win mean for this fan base in your mind?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to put into words. You know, it's like you could see it. I mean, it's one of those things like you know it when you see it. You can hear it. You can see it. It's like this incredible release of emotion. It's so many years in the making. And, again, that's why it's just this is going to whatever happens from here. I mean, Brian McGee said it well earlier. Like, lose out, win it all. Go 9-3 and with some shocking loss in there, whatever. This is a chapter in Tennessee football lore. And on its own, apart from the ramifications, it means so much to so many people. And I think you made a great point earlier. You know, this is why you keep this game. It's going to be interesting moving forward as they reconfigure the SEC and the scheduling and everything and who is going to be preserved, which rivalry is going to be preserved. You would rank this over Florida
by far.
Yeah,
for me. Now I know that's different for different people, but for me, yes, there's a significant gap.
Because some people are like, you know what, it was great to get a win over Baylor. Yeah. It'd be nice to miss them for a couple years there. You know,
I'm interested to see how that plays out, but I think you saw it on Saturday night. I think you're going to continue to see it as the week comes out here. Number one. Vol Twitter has been in one for a long time, and that's when they haven't been all that good. Now that they are good, this could be a little dangerous on Vol Twitter. We'll see what happens.
Maybe they'll be nice.
Well, maybe so.
Maybe now that you're good, it's just like, hey, all right, good game.
Yeah, good job. Way to go.
Like Nebraska fans when you go to Lincoln for a game. Like, yeah. Hey, welcome to town. Yeah. Good to see you.
Appreciate you. Thanks for being here. But I think you saw it with the storming the field, but even really, like, just everything on social. Like, I went to church yesterday. There's orange everywhere. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's just orange all over the place. People are fired up about this Tennessee team for the first time like this that I can remember since I was a little kid. Like, these people are – they have gone through some stuff to get to this point. And, look, I think there's no question that they're ahead of schedule. Like, they were ahead of schedule before this game, and then you put this game on top of it, and now, I mean, you're allowing yourself to think about things like college football playoff berths and can you get to Atlanta for the SEC title game? Can you be undefeated getting to Atlanta for the SEC title game? Like, all of these things all of a sudden are now on the table. And look, I said this earlier, Tennessee by no means did they, like, punch their ticket to the college football playoff or anything on Saturday. There's still a lot of work left to be done, and they got a challenging game against Kentucky. They got a really challenging game against Georgia coming up on the road later this year. But this game, to me, by itself, like, this team is a special team. And you beat Alabama, you're back. As Fulmer said to lead us in the segment here, the Vols, we've asked the question before, we've kind of joked about it before, it's not a joke anymore. Vols are back.
Yeah, and some people on the text line have asked today about, okay, what if this is, what if this is one and done? You know, is this with these guys leaving? And like, yeah, I mean, I'm not sitting here. I mean, I have no idea what their team's going to look like in 2023. The transfer portal can make teams look a lot different than you could ever guess from one year to the next. And I bet you the portal just got a little sweeter for the Vols. That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, this is a special team. I agree. This is a special season. We'll see where it goes, but this is a special combination of people, and it'll be different people next year, and they could go 8-4. But first of all, big picture, a season like this and just everything we've seen from Heupel and his staff, this should be setting them up for future success. And remember, down the road, there's also going to be an expanded playoff. Like it's a pretty good bet right now that Tennessee is going to be relevant. Now, great like this? No, I don't know. This is ahead of schedule. That's the interesting thing, too, is it's like you have this incredibly long period of time waiting for a win over Alabama, and then you just have this, wait a minute, Heupel just got there a year and a half ago, and they're doing this?
Yeah.
It's like those two things together. But You ride the wave when you can ride it. Nick Saban's second year. I mean, Alabama had been bad for a long time. In the second year, they go 12-2. I mean, yeah. If you're a good coach, you can make that big bump happen in year two. And then I'm not saying Heupel's going to do Saban, but he obviously sustained it from there.
Well, and, you know, it's easy to look forward if you're a Tennessee fan and say, okay, well, get quarterback figured out. You've got Nico coming in. We've talked about that. Joe Milton probably started to begin next year. We'll see what happens on
Everybody
that
agrees with me now, I
well,
see.
They just had a they just had a five-star come in, not this weekend, I think the weekend before, where they were – he was on a – no, it was this weekend. Five-star quarterback came in this weekend as well for 2024. So, obviously, like, if you're a quarterback, you look at what's going on here and you're like, okay, yeah, sign me up for playing for that. But I've said this before, and I said it coming into the season. Like, you can talk about five-star quarterbacks and – you know, Nico may end up being a great college player for Tennessee, and he may end up being way better of an NFL prospect than Hendon Hooker ever is. Is there really much higher of a level you could play at quarterback right now than Hendon Hooker's playing for Tennessee? I'd like to see it if there is.
No, again, it's, I guess you could say about the guy on the other side the other day.
Yeah.
You know, it was such an – that's again, part of so many reasons why this game, I'll never forget it. A lot of people never forget it. Because just of that aspect of it, the quarterback duel. And, yeah, the bar that Hendon Hooker is setting this year is, regardless of the, like Corey Curtis said, third round, and that, I mean, that probably is in line, although I could see that getting better for him. But regardless, you can be a great college player. Everything doesn't have to be seen through the prism of, you know, your NFL draft profile. And man, how are you going to get better quarterbacking than this? You know,
yeah.
Tennessee.
I know.
If you can, then kudos to you. I mean, that's the thing with like the LSU comparison is like you kind of knew a lot of it was just Burrow and the talent. Like it wasn't as much scheme. This is a kind of a more sustainable thing in terms of okay, if they do what they do and they can keep putting people in those positions. There's probably going to be other quarterbacks who have a lot of success.
Well, the thing I keep going back to is they put up 52 points on Alabama, and they did it without Cedric Tillman. Like, what is this offense going to look like when Tillman's back? And look, I don't expect him to see him Saturday. I think he'll probably be back for Kentucky. But what is this offense going to look like when you've got those three out there playing? Look, and, you know, Ramel Keaton, I think, has played well enough to earn some snaps even when those guys are back. But with Tillman, McCoy and Hyatt getting the lion's share of the snaps. Who's defending that? That's my question. I mean, they can't defend it without Tillman right now. What are you going to do when he's back in there?
It's ridiculous. And that's the thing. You start talking about that stuff, and I'm like, man, I just can't wait to see the Georgia game. Although, look, like, Kentucky, too. Kentucky can play some defense. Last year, that defense did not fare well. They gave up, like, 10 yards a play to these guys. But those two defenses – probably as good a chance as you can have. But again, like, this Alabama defense is still good. I mean, they just got made to look completely helpless the other day.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm not a Vol fan, and it annoys me with all the, quote, they've been through some stuff talk. Cry me a river. 6 national championships, 13 SEC championships, 6 SEC titles. They act like they've been in the football wilderness. They've been on the outskirts. Be a Vandy or Kentucky fan for a few decades, then we'll talk. Poor, pitiful Vols fans, eye roll. This is from John in Nashville.
That's funny.
A variety of emotions today.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily expect that one, but hey. I mean, you're right that it's all relative, right? I mean, you got to, you know, you look around the landscape. It could be worse than what Tennessee's been. But when you have expectations and you have everything in place to be great, which Tennessee's had, right?
Yeah.
That's where they have been through a lot. I mean, come on. Like, just go back to the coaching search from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been quite a slog here for the Balls.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, Joe, which has a better football program, Tennessee or Kentucky? Would you still like to say Kentucky?
Well,
thank you, Will.
Yes. Again, long-term, big-picture program, all the
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Yeah. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Vols win 52-49 in an epic game against Alabama on Saturday. They beat Alabama for the first time.
More of your thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama coming up next. What does this win mean for the Tennessee fan base? Jace.
6-0 on that. 615-737-1025.
In the aftermath.
This is
the
Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063. The game.
I mean, the defense, it wasn't great. I mean, look, you give up 455 yards passing, you give up 114 yards on the ground.
They gave up a lot of plays in this game defensively. I don't know exactly what Tennessee has defensively as they move forward here, but as you pointed out, with how depleted they were in the secondary, I'm not sure how much of a chance they had to play defense in this game, and they did come up with some big stops, especially early in the game. I mean, they're up 28-10 at one point in this game, and look, the environment was crazy, and I think Tennessee was playing on like some pretty serious emotion to begin that game, and you could tell. I mean, they were laying the lumber. And look, you know, when they rushed four, I thought they had a tough time getting to Bryce Young. They blitzed a lot in that game, and Bryce Young got popped a few times in that game. But certainly, you know, you made some plays throughout the game, but all in all, Alabama did a lot of what they wanted to do offensively, and you still won.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Banks, the game plan was obvious, and maybe it had something to do with you're not sure how healthy Bryce Young is. You're not sure if he can, you know, get off great throws under duress. You want to hit him, of course. I mean, they blitzed all day. Jeremy Banks, how many times did Jeremy Banks come as the fifth guy? And sometimes they sent six. In the last series, you know, they were just selling out. I think they were sending six three times in a row, and the third time Alabama made him pay. Again, I believe that was the play that William Wright made the tackle in the open field. And then, of course, Alabama could have, again, they could have run the ball. I think they should have one time, but Gibbs drops a pass that puts them in great shape to win the game. So, yeah, it's like five for, you know, you get two of their first three drives, 5 for 12 yards, 3 for -12 yards on two of Alabama's first three drives, and the defense was flying around. They were flying around all day. Like, there were a lot of important plays in that game, important tackles in the open field. And a lot of misplays too against great players, but the stats don't reflect to me like the exhaustive effort the front put into chasing Bryce Young, because he just has eyes in the back of his head.
There were some plays that felt like they lasted 35 seconds back there with him running around
and just bouncing left, right. Okay, run around you this way, and you're just like, what are you supposed to do with this guy? It was really incredible. Tennessee's defense, I mean, deserves a ton of credit for what it even managed. And again, you're talking about, by the end there, you're talking about, is it five defensive backs out?
Yeah.
A safety and your top four corners. Your starting safety, who plays more than anyone, who is as trusted as anyone. I mean, he and Flowers both, McCullough and Flowers both. And who knows, you know, if and when McCullough will be back, by the way. And then your top four corners, one of whom's out for the season, but the other three, one couldn't go in the game, and two are out late. I mean, that's heavy duress.
Yeah, and again, I mean, the numbers aren't good, but you get off the field on that last drive there, force the 50-yard field goal. It's wide right, and then Tennessee comes right back down the field and kicks the field goal of their own. What did you think of Alabama's coverage on that last drive by Tennessee? Saban talked about it in the aftermath, says, you know, if they had to go back and do it over again, they played too soft on that drive. What did you think of how Alabama handled that situation with very, very limited time left?
Yeah, well, I think the first play was too easy. I think for sure the first play was too easy, and that obviously. But even then, it's not like Tennessee was in great position. They had a chance, right? But you still had to make a big play. I thought, look, on the play to Brew McCoy, I mean, two guys are there. And he simply posts up, and they can't get around him. The guy is a linebacker playing receiver. So, again, you got it's Keaton over the middle, and I agree. Like that where I think Alabama was too soft there. I don't know what you're supposed to do on the play. I mean, Hooker was under duress. He kind of pumped it. He hung in, and let it rip. And Brew McCoy is just too physical for those defensive backs. Two guys there. So, I don't know. Other than just make the play, what else you want Alabama to do there?
Yeah, I mean, he went through two guys and came down with the ball there. It's great throw, great catch. And you know, Corey brought this up earlier, and I think it's a great point. You know, the game, you throw an interception in the game if you're Hendon Hooker, you bounce right back from that. You have the fumble with, you know, Jabari Small, I guess, thinking that it was a keeper on that play and a play-action fake, and the ball's on the ground. It's picked up. It goes in the end zone. And Hendon Hooker He just stands right in there, comes back, scores a touchdown the next drive to tie things back up at 49. It's a huge high-pressure situation on that last drive to get in field goal range. The guy's got some poise, and that makes you feel pretty good if you're a Tennessee fan. Number one, the talent and the execution of the offense. But handling a big moment like that, they've had a lot of good moments this year. That game, that opponent, that environment, they've never seen anything like that. And I thought Hendon Hooker handled it, not just him, pretty much everybody handled it pretty well.
Yeah. No, it's a very poised, mature team to be able to, again, he come back from the gift touchdown. To me, that was like, yep, there you go. Great effort balls, and you'll think about that 28-10 lead, and you'll think about the pick, and the Keaton should have been touchdown and all these things, but ultimately that's what Bama does. And they won that game. So you have to have tremendous poise. And I agree, Hooker has been so good, but this is a totally different level to me, what he was able to do late in that game. And that's why I think he should be the Heisman favorite right now.
Henry on the text line says, let's face it, Alabama's defense was tired late in the game. I mean, I don't know if I buy that. Tennessee had the ball for 22 minutes. That's the thing. Like, the time of possession is never really in Tennessee's favor because of the quick strike ability of the offense. But I don't know. I was watching that game, Joe, and I was like, man, it feels like Tennessee never has the ball. And then when they do, they go down and score quickly. But they only had the ball for 22 minutes in that game.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look up right now. In the second half in particular, it was really lopsided. The tired defense would have been Tennessee's for sure. Now, I'm not saying that Tennessee's offense doesn't do that to defenses. It does. I mean, you can't get off the field. You can't sub.
The tempo.
And, yeah, so, I mean – I'm not saying – I would hope that everybody on that field was exhausted. It was exhausted watching them play. Yeah. So, sure. But, you know, it's it's like Tennessee's defense the other way. They came down the field on you, but you made a few plays that made it just long enough a field goal to give yourself a chance.
I mean, listen to some of these stats. Alabama had 32 first downs, Tennessee with 29. Alabama was 6 of 13 on third down. Tennessee was 5 of 10. Total yards in the game, Alabama 569, Tennessee 567. I mean, it was pretty much dead even across the board until you get down to the penalties, which a lot of conversation about the penalties on the text line.
The penalties.
By Wilson County on Hyundai.com.
Yeah, and again, 15 more minutes of possession. I mean, that's that. And Bama, and that's got to be your game plan too. You know, if you're anybody playing Tennessee, it's all like you have to have like 9.5 minute touchdown drives. You know, that's like your best hope is just to limit the possessions Tennessee has.
Caleb on the text line says the 2-point conversion by Tennessee to tie worked out beautifully. That was a great call, and you know Chase McGrath misses the extra point, so you've got it. You know you're going to have to go for two at some point. I didn't know if Tennessee would do it then or they'd wait a little bit longer, but they did it. Obviously, they felt good about the call. And it could not have worked out any better. Great little shovel pass there to Princeton fans sneaking through the front door.
Yeah, and I'm a big take-free points person. I actually thought Alabama shouldn't have gone for two. They got it, but it's like it's so early in a high-scoring game. But I did think at that moment to kind of reset it and get yourself back into a touchdown, tie, or go-ahead game. I think I thought that was a good time to do it for Tennessee if you had a play you liked, and it was your guy. Your guy, Princeton fan, who, by the way, great. I mean, there's just so many things to still consume from this game, including his trolling, or someone put it together. He's trolling Toto.
Yeah.
With Toto's little thing he does.
A Princeton fan's jersey. Been there since 1998, so.
Yeah, so he had a nice.
He definitely played with Toto.
And he said, it's just. Was that Toto when he went to Alabama? Is that why he said that? It's just business?
No, they came out with a hype video on Friday. Alabama did, and Toto was narrating it. And that's what he said. Like going back to Neyland making plays and. It's not personal. It's just business.
Oh, see, I did not realize.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes it even juicier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. And he was crying after the game.
Well, there's that. And then, you know, Tennessee's kind of hijacking the Dixieland Delight song now. There's a lot of stuff going on out there between Tennessee and Alabama.
Yeah, you got to enjoy it every way you can.
Yeah. Lance on the text line says, just left Home Depot. Couldn't tell the employees from the customers. Orange everywhere. A lot of orange out there.
I can imagine.
A lot of orange. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 1025. Tip off the Grizzly season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Plus, all customers get 3 months of NBA League Pass when they make a $5 bet on the NBA, courtesy of FanDuel. So you're going to want to take advantage of that. Then you can watch all the action as you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to totals. I would probably go John Morant over on points on most nights as well. But that's just me. You do whatever you want to do with it. Best of all, you get your winnings paid instantly, so don't miss your chance to get $150 in free bets plus 3 months of NBA League Pass with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Memphis Grizzlies. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New customers first online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Existing customers, $5 NBA wager required. Limit one pass per customer across both offers. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See full terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. NBA League Pass. Local blackout restrictions apply.
Just like that, Lane, always forgiven. And just like that, Lane, always forgiven.
And here they come. Worked hard all week.
Got a little jingle. Lane Kiffin making an appearance on College Game Day on Saturday, live from the field, which they keep doing, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But Lane Kiffin throwing it out there before the game on Saturday, talking to Tennessee fans, says, hey, let's go beat the state of Alabama today. Go Vols.
He said
they were taking on Auburn. Tennessee taking on Alabama, obviously, and they both got it done.
Yep. He said go Vols, and I saw Bruce Pearl with a tweet that says go Vols. Like, hey, man, worry about your own little football program down there.
What are you doing down there?
Bruce, you're not part of, Tennessee Nation anymore, buddy.
No.
But everybody who's been associated with Tennessee is – celebrating. Has Butch celebrated? I have not seen.
I don't know.
We're going to get a Jay Prue video this week. I recruit a lot of those guys.
You know, that first down marker, Tennessee got to that and beyond multiple times.
Do you guys see that Jay Cutler bought cigars too?
Did he?
Yeah. He bought like a bunch of cigars and brought them to the game, Jay Cutler. Very random.
So Jay Cutler turning into a Tennessee fan, Michelle Knezevic turning into a Tennessee fan. What a day it is today.
Well, according to some, we are someone on the – Keith on the text line said, hey, it's good to hear – it's good, nice listening to WNML today.
Go Vols! We've changed locations. It's big stuff. By the way, Henry on the text line says, was there any disrespect to Coach Saban in that game?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think so.
I mean, what's the most enjoyable image – you know, beyond like the people streaming on the field and the goalposts, that's obvious, right? But enjoyable, like misery of opponent image. You got Dooley over there with the sad meatballs,
yeah,
which reminds me of Urban Meyer and his sad pizza after losing to Michigan State a few years ago. That was that's a very favorite up in Michigan.
Yeah.
You got the toe toe thing here. You got the Bama fans crying about the PI or whatever. But what about just Saban's completely unhinged reactions in that game? I mean, unhinged, man.
Those are always my favorite.
Just, and his hair's wild, and he's just
crazy.
MFing a 20-year-old.
When they tried to pick up the punt and fumbled the ball, he went crazy.
Oh.
And it was hilarious. Really was.
So that's probably it, right? That's probably the most enjoyable of the meltdown of Alabama.
Well, look, you know how much I enjoy Nick Saban anyway. So,
right. Well, you love Nick Saban.
I do.
Yeah. You properly respect him.
I do. I watch Nick Saban's press conferences every week. It's just so funny.
That alone is fantastic.
It's very funny.
You do?
Yeah, I do every week. You never know what he's going to say.
I bet you'll watch it this week.
I bet I'll be watching it today. It'll be funny. Patrick from the Alabama-Tennessee border says, has a visiting team's fan base ever torn down a home team goalpost? I have not seen that one.
I haven't seen that.
I don't think so.
I can't say for sure it hasn't happened, but yeah, that'd probably be tough. That'd probably be a tough sell.
Probably be a little tougher reaction with the security than that one.
Well, like McGee, we had Ryan McGee, who was awesome earlier, and he wrote a really good piece. It was largely, I actually learned about cigars from his piece, but he was talking about that, and everyone had a cigar. You found that out quickly, and it is actually illegal to smoke in there. No one gave a crap. No one.
Not much enforcement going on?
Well, the only thing they enforced was they wanted to go out the Alabama way with the goalposts. And they're like, no. Take it back that way. Let's not have a problem.
Let's not cause a scene.
But, yeah, if visiting fans try to take down goalposts, I think you'd probably have some issues.
Be some problems. Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Daryl from Columbia. Daryl, thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm not a Tennessee fan, but I will tell you this. I married into an Alabama Crimson Tide family, and it's really hard to sit in the living room with them and watch a game on Saturday. it's painful. But I will tell you this. UT deserved it. I was born in Tennessee, not raised here, but born here. My whole family, both sides of the family are here. So a little thing called Tennessee pride, you know. A little thing called Tennessee pride that runs in all of us. So part of me was happy to see the Vols win to beat Snap Street. And one thing before I go, isn't Michelle Kinesa McKenzie a Kentucky grad?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Allegedly.
Oh, hey, Michelle. Hi. I just want to let you know they just alluded to the fact that you're rooting for UT now, right?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's now her internet reputation.
I'm a South Carolina alum, so I just want to know if that loss 2 weeks ago was what made you turn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. Boom.
Now we
there we go, Daryl.
That's
what we're talking
home.
About.
Bring it on home.
Oh, beautiful.
Woo.
Michelle, your response. Was South Carolina the game that just pushed you over the top?
This season, yes. I mean, Ole Miss got me there. I was hoping we'd be undefeated heading into Neyland, and then the South Carolina, I had to stop watching.
Oh, boy.
But there was a little promise beating Mississippi State this past weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's a good win.
Whatever. Your blood's orange.
Optimistic.
Real quick.
Michelle Knezeval.
The Alabama fans, a lot of complaining. I do want to point out Jim from Springfield, who says – on the text line, Alabama fan here, the only egregious call in the game Saturday was the pass interference call against Tennessee in the end zone. Great acting job by the receiver. So just to point out that not every Alabama fan is crying about the officials, okay?
Greg on the text line has sent a still shot of Saban screaming with his arms spread out when Tennessee, after they recovered that fumble on the punt, and it's just – there's so much intensity in his face. So much.
I think that might be – he's had some great meltdowns, but that might be his best.
There's another great one where the ref is just standing there and his face is major crazy eyes just talking so close to him and the ref is just not giving him anything.
It happens.
By the way, William says Jay didn't bring those cigars to Knoxville. They were from his company delivered to someone else delivered them. Okay.
So, cool.
Yeah. So you got the Jay Cutler. So Jay Cutler got in on the cigars, but he didn't necessarily go and celebrate the win.
I'd say that would upset Vanderbilt fans, I think, in a big way. Yeah. So can't have that.
Yeah, speaking of that, is Ball Twitter going back to Checker Vanderbilt Stadium now?
Could be. We'll see.
Don't look past Georgia. Yeah. Don't look past Kentucky.
Michelle, you have a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. And if you remember me talking about Superbook last week, I told you to put a couple bucks on Tennessee Moneyline. Hope you cash that one out. We got some Monday Night Football action tonight. I like the Chargers tonight, minus the 4. Listen, I think you take Justin Herbert on the over, and I think you also take them on the money line. And Superbook wants to know if you can beat football this season. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odd makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms. No guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. Just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boost and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas. Right now, visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Joe, I got to say, this has been the favorite show of mine that we've ever done. It's been just all Tennessee-Alabama talk. I never figured that we'd be able to talk about a Tennessee victory against Alabama this soon. But 52-49, what a day this has been.
This is do you like this show better than the one where we're like, Danny, why?
That was pretty good, too.
Did you hire Josh Heupel?
That was pretty good,
UCFK.
Too. Maybe my top two. Maybe my top two favorite shows.
Congrats to you and all the Vols fans.
It's a big day.
Live it up.
Oh, we did.
And you, I mean, Ryan McGee's hungover 2 days later,
yeah.
We found out.
That's
strong.
That is. What a win, what a day, what a weekend for Tennessee fans. They're undefeated, and like we said, everything's still on the table in front of them. That's going to do it for us here today on the program. Chase Willie and D-May is coming up next. They'll have you covered on the big Tennessee win as well. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.